سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. إمام زين العابدين عليه الصلاة والسلام.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In دعاء مكارم الأخلاق made this statement and this dua to Allah and says, Allahumma waffir bi lutfika niyyati. He said that Allah, make my intentions abundant by your grace. Niyat or intention is what makes an action good or bad. It what makes an action right or wrong. It's what gives value to actions. A person gives charity. A beggar comes to him and asks him. So there are two scenarios I will give, and you compare the two. A beggar asks him for money. It's charity that he's giving. So he doesn't like the beggar. He doesn't want to give money. He just wants to get rid of the beggar. And the best way he finds is to give $1. So he gives the dollar so he can get rid of the beggar. This is one scenario. Another scenario is that a beggar comes, asks for money. He looks at the beggar, sees this as an opportunity to do good, is glad that the beggar approached him, takes out a dollar and gives it to him. Now, are these two actions the same? Both of them gave $1. But one had the niyat and the intention of giving. The other had no intention of giving. He just wanted to get rid of the beggar. And hence, one action is an action that is good. The other action, the action that is bad, even though the action is the same. It is the same. What makes an action good is when the action, whatever you do, is fi sabilillah, in God's way, in Allah's way. The niyyat has to be in Allah's way in order that this action can be fruitful and this action can have a result for you, a positive result for you in life. It has to be for Allah. Whatever we do, do it for Allah. Whether it is work, whether it is life, whether the struggles of life, and all of these. If we do it for Allah, it is good. And if you're not doing it for Allah, then these actions are not going anywhere and do not help us. If you, even for example, when you give salam to someone and say salam alaikum to someone, this should be done for Allah. It should be done for Allah. Imam Ali Ar-Ridha alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He has said that anyone who gives salam because someone is wealthy and because of his wealth he gives salam to him, he has lost one third of his deen, his religion. He has lost one third of his religion when he gives salam, which is a good thing, mustahab thing, but he did it because of this person, not because of Allah. Right? Not because of Allah. He has lost one third of his deen inside of him. It's finished. Right? That's how you lose your deen. So, it's niyat that gives value to action. It's niyat that gives value to action. You can stand in a shower and wet yourself the whole day long. It will not be called ghusl. It won't be called ghusl. Right? But if you make the niyat an intention for ghusl, you see that it becomes ghusl. It changes its meaning. You heard this before. A person in the battle of Uhud, he saw an enemy and he had a donkey and he wanted to get that donkey, so he went after him. He went after him to get the donkey. And in the process, he died. So now, he was killed, so he was brought as one of the shaheed, or the martyrs. And when he was brought there, his name was in the list of martyrs. Prophet said, strike his name from the list of martyrs. Why? Because he didn't die because of Allah, he died because of a donkey. He died because of a donkey, right? Hence, this person gave his life. He gave his life. But you see, what was the worth of that life when it wasn't for Allah? See, it's the niyat and the intention that makes or gives value to our actions in life, and it gives value to our life also. A life that is led without the intention for Allah is a life that is not going anywhere. It is going just to die and hellfire. Life that is not led for God is a life that's not going anywhere. And hence, the question now is, how do we make our intention for Allah only? How do we make that intention? What do we have to do to make that intention? What is the recipe by which we know that this intention is for Allah? One simple rule that Allah gave, a principle that Allah gave in the Quran to recognize, is this for Allah or not? How do we know? For example, we do many things and we think they're good, but how do we know that we actually did it for Allah, not for others? We gave money to the masjid. How do we know that we gave it for Allah, or was it for something else? How do we know that? There has to be a principle by which we can apply that formula and say that, okay, this is it. So one statement Allah, He gives in the Quran, and He says about those who give for Allah, how do you know that? He says, La nurida min kum. He says, Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
He says, La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shakura. He says, look for two things. Look for two things, and from this you will know this is for Allah. He says that anyone that you do it for, because obviously you're not helping Allah. Allah doesn't need help. God doesn't need help. Right? He's beyond help. He's the one who's helping you. Right? You can't help Him. So obviously when you say that, you know, you give, you're giving to someone else, to a masjid, to a person. You're doing it for someone else. You do it for the masjid or a person or someone. So when you do it for someone, look for two things in that. The first thing, that when you do it for someone, do not expect any reward in return for it. Do not expect any reward in return for it. Do not expect any thanks in return for it. Two things. Don't expect any reward that, hey, I did this for Allah, but listen, you know, give me something. Right? I gave this hefty check to the masjid. No acknowledgement. They didn't even acknowledge me. Look at this. Why are you even expecting that? See, if you did it for him, you don't expect anything in return. If you get it, it's another thing. If someone says thank you, it's another thing. But I, who am doing this deed, I'm not expecting any thanks, nor am I expecting any reward. Two things look for it in your life. When you do something, are you expecting something in return for this? And if you don't get acknowledgement or thanks or reward, are you upset? If you're upset, then it means that the action was not for Allah. It wasn't for Allah. If it was for Allah, then you don't expect anything. So here, I just want to make something understand over here, so you all know this. The niyat that we have is fi sabilillah. But the misunderstanding that Muslims have is that they think that fi sabilillah means free sabilillah. They think that fi sabilillah, they think it means free sabilillah. There's a fee there. You know, there is a fee you pay. Right? There is a fee. You know that the fi sabilillah is not free. No one is doing it for free. Friends, no one is doing it. This is a, you know, just a answer to that, you know, email that's been sent around by people who take large amounts of money for speeches. Right? So let's listen. There's nothing wrong with taking something for Majlis of Imam Hussein. There's nothing wrong in taking it. Everyone takes it. There's no one who was born from the time of Ashura till now who does not have who works for free. No Ayatollah who gave a speech, no Alim who gave a speech, no one works for free. They all take money. They all take something. There's nothing wrong with taking in the way of Allah. But the issue is, who do you take it from? You see, what fi sabilillah means is not that it's free. Fi sabilillah means is that this majlis is so expensive and so pricey that all of you put together cannot afford it. All of you put together, all of you human beings put together cannot afford it. That's why I don't deal with you when I'm speaking to get something from you. I deal with someone who's able to give me the right amount for this. Fee sabilillah means that you're doing it, that you're dealing with Allah when it comes to this, not the people. That's the meaning of fee sabilillah. It's not free. No one's doing it for free. But some people, they charge a greater price. They charge a greater price and they know that people cannot afford it. That's why we are expecting it only from Allah. We're expecting it only. This is what the meaning of fee sabilillah. Yes, there is that competition, but you know what? Our dealing is not with you, it's with Allah. Those who are doing it for Allah's purpose, if you cook food, if you do something, it is, you're expecting from Allah, not from people, that, oh, I'm going to get this from the people, I want praise from the people, I want acknowledgement from the people, I want them to think that I'm so great. So what if they do? Doesn't matter. The fact is that what's important is that when you do it for Allah, it is Allah who is taking care of you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So, we are working for Allah. We are working for Allah, in other words, that we don't want any appreciation, nor thanks, nor reward from anyone else. This is the first thing. Now, why should we work for Allah? Why should we work for Allah? Let me give you some reasons to work for Allah. I'll give you some reasons to work for Allah, all right? Why should you work for Allah? The first reason, my friends, Allah's rewards are based on efforts. Allah's rewards, He gives, He pays based on effort, not on result. First thing, right? For example, there's a sick person, I cook the food for the sick person, you know? I cook the food for the sick person and the food went bad. Right? The food went bad, so the result is nil, zero. Nothing. I didn't do anything. Allah is saying, listen, I don't reward you for result, I reward you for your effort. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. He says, for man is what he strives for, what he makes effort for, not what he achieves. Not what he achieves. And hence, so Allah is saying, listen, you work for me, then you get paid for effort, not paid to get achieve things. Right? For example, you know, you're hired by someone to work, and they say, you know, be on the phone and get sales. So they say, like, if you get sales, you'll get paid. I mean, no one says, listen, because you work so hard, we'll pay you anyway. It doesn't work like that. They say that, no. If you don't bring in results, you don't get paid. So here Allah is saying, listen, I don't pay you for getting results. I pay you for the effort you put in. For the effort you put in. That's what I give you for. So it's the effort that's there. Hence, this is the first reason you should work for Allah. Why? You don't need to achieve anything. Just work hard. If you struggle and strive, that is all Allah is looking for. Strive in His way. First reason. Second reason you should work for Allah and not others. You know, second reason is that Allah even accepts whatever you do, even if it's small, tiny, minute. You are doing a fundraiser here, right? And one person brings $100, one person brings $500, you know, and you're counting in dollars. And someone brings a dime. Okay, this is from me. How would you treat that dime? Tell me. How would you treat that dime? Tell me, sir. I'll put it in the box over there. Hi? That's what I said. I put it in the box over there. See, if it's small, people here don't accept small things. Right? The only place you hear about accepting small things are in Hallmark cards, you know? It's the thought that counts and all that. You see, it's a Hallmark card. In reality, no one accepts small things, you know? They want something big. Right? They want something big. They don't expect, right? Or they don't accept small things. But Allah is saying, listen, Allah accepts small things. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Anyone who does a small little effort, smallest thing he gives, he will see that good. He will be accepted from it. So Allah accepts even the small things that you do. You don't have to do bigger things. Even the small things he accepts, right? So this is the second reason you should work for Allah. The third reason you work for Allah, I'll give an example. For example, you made the food for the poor person. Right? You made the food for the poor person and the food went bad. Now the food is defective, right? Or you made the food for the masjid. The food went bad. It's defective. Will anyone eat it? It's bad, it's gonna make you sick. You want, but you see, no one will accept it. If you sell something to someone, a car, you sell a car, and the car is defective, is he gonna accept it? It's defective. It doesn't even start. You see, no one accepts that. The third reason you should work for Allah is that Allah also accepts defective goods from you. He accepts defective goods from you. How good is your prayer? How good is your prayer? How good is your fasting? How good is your Hajj? Right. How good are your actions? You know, can you call them, you know, good, perfect, mint condition? Or do you say it's defective, worn out? We'll sell for parts. Right? How good are your actions, my friends? Understand this. How good are you? How good are our actions? They're defective at the best. Allah is saying that I also accept defective things. Even if it's defective from you, I'll accept it. This is the third reason you should work for Allah. The fourth reason you should work for Allah. I said I'll give you five reasons why you should work for Allah. Right? Five reasons. The fourth reason you should work for Allah. Right? Is that, you know, when you deal with someone and you say that, listen, I'm going to sell this car to you for 800, for 1,000. Let's say 1,000. Now, how much is this worth in the KBB, yeah, the blue book? It's worth, you know, 1,000. So you're getting its value, 1,000, right? Now, if you find a seller who would buy it for 2,000, what do you call him? If you find a customer who's ready to buy that car for 2,000 when it's actually worth 1,000, what do you call that person? Yeah? Well, whatever you call him, my friends, listen. When you do something for Allah, when you do something for God, He always overpays you. This is Allah's way. Allah is saying, listen, you sell things in your life, you do things for others in your life, they don't even pay you the value of what you're doing. I will pay you more than that. Tell me, do any one of us deserve heaven?
No.
Do any one of us deserve heaven for our actions? No. So if Allah sends us to heaven, He's overpaying us. He's giving us more than what we deserve. It's His grace. You see? This is the fourth quality of Allah. Allah always gives more than what your actions are worth, what your deeds are worth. This is, my friends, the fourth reason. In the Allah ishtara min al mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahumul jannah. That Allah has bought from the believers their wealth and their lives in exchange for heaven. In exchange for heaven. My life is not the price. The work I have done is not the price of heaven and closeness to Allah and His mercy and compassion. It doesn't deserve it. But Allah is saying, I will give it because I always overpay. I always give more than what you can do. This is only God's quality. Fifth reason you should work for Allah is that when you work for Allah, He makes you glad that you work for Him. He makes you happy that you work for Him. You know, sometimes you make a deal and you see that the person you're dealing with, he really takes care of you. He really takes care of you, you know, gives you like all the flattery and this and that, makes you good. Allah has the same approach when He deals with you. You know what Allah says when you want to work for Him? He says, "Man dhalladhi yuqridu Allaha qardan hasana?" Who's going to give a loan to Allah? Who's going to give a loan to Allah? Who's going to give a loan? So what is this loan, my friends? I mean, you give a loan when you have your own money. Whatever we have is from Allah. Whatever we have is from Allah. So when Allah is asking, he said, give a loan to me. So He's telling you, listen, I'm taking this as a loan. See how good I'm making you feel. Right? You're the lender, the banker. You're bankrolling now others. Right? See how Allah makes you feel. So, five reasons I give you that you should work for Allah, my friends. Make your niyat only for Allah. Now, let me just go to the other section of what I want to say. If you send a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam says in this dua, he says, Allahumma waffir bilutfika niyati. Allah, make my intention abundant by your grace. Through your grace, make my intention abundant. Wafir from the word wufur means to make a lot. make a lot of intention. Make my intention a lot. Make it a lot. Make me make intention a lot of times. Why is he saying that? He's not asking Allah to make my intention mukhlas and sincere. He's not saying that. He's saying, make me make a lot of intention. And here, something I just want to say, my friends, and ask this question first and answer it for you so we can get a result from this speech. Sal salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now tell me, our ability and our capacity, is it limited or is it unlimited? It's limited, right? We aren't able to do things in an infinite way, right? We are limited, we are restricted. Our ability is limited, our capacity is restricted. Is it possible for us who are limited and our capacity is restricted to grow infinitely? To grow infinitely without any end? Is it possible for us to reach infinity? In other words, we're limited. Are we able to reach infinity? Yes or no? Is it possible for a limited being to be unlimited? Is it possible for a being that has limits and boundaries to be without boundaries and be infinite? You see? Yes, it's possible. Why? How? With your intention. Look at this. It says, with your intention, you can reach infinity. You can reach infinity, my friends, with intention. How does that work? It says this. If you see something good happening, if you see something good happening, if you make your niyat an intention and say that, you know what, that good is happening, I wish I can do that. I want to do that. If you see someone building a masjid and say, I want to build a masjid. If you see someone sacrificing, say, I wish I could do that. If you make an intention for any good action that is happening, Allah is giving you the reward of that action also. Allah is giving you the reward of that action. The Prophet was traveling with a group of people back from the battlefield. He was traveling. And with this one stop came and he told the group that, listen, I see some people here who are traveling with us. I see some people here who are traveling with us. Traveling with us. He says, وَلَا نَسْعَدَ سَعُودًا وَلَا نَهْبَتَ حُبُوتًا إِلَّا كَانُوا وَأَنَا. He says, Now, for example, when you go in Allah's way, every step you take, there's reward for it. If you come to the masjid, every step you take to come here, there's reward for it, more reward for it, more ajr for it, right? So, whenever you do something for Allah, there's reward for it. So now, when these people, Allah is saying, here Rasulullah is saying what? He's saying that these people, every mountain we climbed and every slope we went down, I saw them with us. They are traveling with me. They're traveling with me. So the people ask him, كَيْفَ تَكُونُ مَعَنَا وَلَمْ يَشْهَدُوا. How are they with us when we haven't seen them? What are you talking about? That there are people who are walking with us, doing things with us, in the battlefield with us, doing jihad with us and everything, and we haven't even seen them. Where are these people, imaginary people that you're talking about? He says, how can that be that they're with us? He says, قَالَ نِيَّاتُهُمْ. Because they have, in their heart, they wanted to be with us. They're sitting in Medina. But they, because they made the intention that, oh, how I wish I could be there also. So now Allah has given them the reward that we are doing here. In the battle of Jamal, after the victory, someone came to Imam Ali, meaning in the group, you know, everyone was celebrating the victory. And one of the companions of Ali said, oh, how I wish this brother was here also with us. How I wish that this brother was here with us also. So Imam Ali asked him one question. Is he with us? Is he with us? In that sense that, is his khat, is his line with us? Is his ideology the same as ours? They said, yes, of course, he's from your hizb. He's from your group. That's what we're talking about. He's from our group. Then Imam Ali said, لَقَدْ شَهِدْنَا فِي أَثَرِنَا هَذَا أَقْوَامٌ فِي أَصْلَابِ الرِّجَالِ وَأَرْحَامِ النِّسَاءِ. He says, you're talking about him who wasn't able to come for whatever reason, but he's with us, that he will have the reward of the Battle of Jamal? He says, no. Even the generations that are in the loins of their fathers and the wombs of their mothers will also have the reward of Jamal if they made the niyat that, oh, I wish I was in Jamal with Ali. Understand this, my friends. When we say to the companions of Karbala, oh, how I wish I was with you, that I could achieve this great victory, Allah is saying, make the niyat and I will give you the ajr of Karbala. Make the niyat that you want to be with this God, that you want to be a part of this. Make that niyat. My friends, you can achieve infinity just by making it. How many times today? From morning till you wake, since you woke up until now, you made a niyat to be a part of something good. How many niyat have you made? How many intentions have you made to be a part of something great? How many times have you made niyat? And this is for free. We don't have to do anything. Just make the niyat. Allah is saying, just make the intention that you are going to be a part of this. I'll give you the reward for that. I'll give you the ajr for that. Why don't we want to take it? Really, why don't we want to take it, my friends? The intention is right there. Just make the intention you want to be a part of this good. That I wish I had this money that I can build a masjid. Allah is saying, just because you made that niyat, and it is from your heart. Not just, you know, oh, you know, I heard from Allah, just make a niyat every time. You know. And when the money does come, you know, because someone asked me, so Maulana, what happens if you really get the money? Do you still have to make the masjid? Hear that? Listen, of course you have to get the whole idea is that if you made the true intention that if you had it, you would do it. If Allah gave it to you, then do it. To prove that your intention was right. Right? The only reason we are unable to do it because we are limited, our capacities, and we don't have the money to do it. But make the niyyah that Allah, if I had it, I would do it. That Allah is saying, I will give you the reward as if you have done it. Right, right. And let me just give another hadith and, you know, so that, inshallah, you know, from here, just one principle I will speak about, one principle. And this is, you know, beautiful, you know, it's beautiful. And so, you know, if you understood what I said so far, that you can make a niyat, make your heart be yearning to do something good, to be a part of something good, to be a part of something that has ajr and has the blessing of Allah in it, then Allah will make you a part of that. It's free. You don't have to do it. Why are we doing that? Shaitan is making us forget it. Right? Make the niyat every day. How hard it is. Make it. And then that ajr will increase, you know. Just one thing. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam had said,
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
When your line is correct, when your thought pattern is correct, then all your actions become ibadat. All your actions is worship. Every action of yours is worship. When your line is correct, because your heart is in the right place and you're doing it for Allah. How much is that important? It is that your intention is there. This dua that he mentions, he says, Ya man sawat, Ya man sawat tawfiqa bayna al-qawiyya wal-da'if. You know, Imam is addressing Allah and he is giving a attribute of Allah, and in that attribute he is teaching an important principle of life that should make us encouraged to do good. He said, you know, O you who has equalized, the opportunity for the strong and the weak. You see, O you who has equalized the opportunity for those who are strong and those who are weak. You know, if a person is strong, he can fight. If a person has money, he can give. If a person has the ability, he can help. But what about those who are weak? Those who don't have money? Those who don't have wealth? Those who don't have ability? How about them? So what it means is that if that was the case, then God has handicapped me. Allah, if you gave me the money, I would have done that too. I wasn't able to do it. Right? I mean, the fact is that this guy comes, he is a millionaire, and he gives $100,000. He gives $100,000. As an example, I'm saying. And here, this other person only has $100 to his name and he gives $10. Whose reward is more? Are they what? What have they done? They are the same. Allah is saying, listen, my reward is not on how much you give. My reward is on the ratio and proportion to what you give to what you have. This is a principle. If you look at that principle, then you see that no weak person, no poor person, no one who's poor has any excuse before Allah to earn the reward that any rich person has who is able to give, or any strong person has who is able to fight. If you're weak, then do your share and you will see you'll get the same reward. Allah's reward is not based on how much, it's based on your proportion, on what you're doing. In other words, Allah has equalized those who are strong and those who are weak, those who are wealthy and those who are poor. Now those who are poor cannot say, well, I don't have money, you know, otherwise I would have given. How much do you have in your pocket? $10, give $1. That $1 is the same as that $100,000. It's the same. There's no difference. It's the same as that $100,000. For people it might not be. The people are like, MashaAllah, such a great donor, $100,000. And Allah is saying, no, they're the same. They're the same. You see how Allah has made the weak people understand, and the poor people understand that, listen, you can get the same amount of ajr, reward. Same amount. Same thing that you can gain. Really, you can do that. Just, you need to understand Allah's principle. And if you don't have anything, just make the niyat and I will give the reward also. Make the niyat and I will give reward also. So this, my friends, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. The niyat, the intention of the believer is better than his action. The reason he gets Jannah is not because of his actions. Not because of his actions. We don't get heaven because of our actions. Reason we get heaven is because we made the intention to do it for Allah. And Allah is saying, you just make the intention and I will reward you to that level. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the sincerity in our intention and to increase our intentions for good and to make us a part of every good. To make us a part of every good that has happened through Ali Muhammad. And make us one of those who are holding on to their deen and their footsteps. I ask Allah to hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين. سلام عليكم.